Hey guys, welcome back. Episode 5 of the Nerd Hoarders podcast. It's been a little while since we've done one. A lot has happened, a lot has been announced. If you're new here, I'm Juan. This is
I'm Dave.
Dave, my good brother Dave. Not even a friend, he's my brother at this point. Love him more than anything. So we got a lot to talk about, Dave.
We do have a lot to talk about.
I got notes here and it goes on a long while, so this might be a lengthy one.
We got a long list of notes, a lot of stuff going on. It's gonna
Perfect.
be a good one.
All right, let's start off by with this. What have you been playing, sir?
So I just like been playing quite a bit. I just got done with a playthrough of all the Halo games. Me and my buddy from back home have been playing through all of the Halos from start to finish. So we just got done with Halo Infinite recently, which was my first time playing through the campaign of Halo Infinite, which was pretty good. I enjoyed that. And I've also been playing on my own. I've been playing the Game of Thrones King's Road game, which I'm enjoying it. It's kind of fun. It's a little bit, it feels like a little bit dated for a game that released this year. Like the gameplay sort of feels like it's older, like a game that I'd play back in like 2015, 2016. But the story's fun. I'm enjoying playing through that. I've got a lot more to play through on it, but that's what I've been playing recently. And I've been playing went back to Breath of the Wild because I got a Switch 2 recently, which we'll touch on in a little while. So it's been fun to go back and play some of those like older Switch games with like updated graphics, like updated frame rates, stuff like that.
Nice, man. I've been playing RoboCop Rogue City. It's been out for a little while. It feels like a very polished PS2 game. Controls are very dated. Graphics are extremely dated. I mean, it looks decent. It doesn't look horrible by any means, but you can tell it's not. It's for the Series X too. So you think a Series X game would be, it's fun though. I really enjoy it. I tend to be a little behind in the times nowadays, with new releases and games and game news and everything. So if I want to know what's happening with really, I really got to concentrate and put a lot of effort into finding out what's happening.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, I'm a little bit sort of like not on top of the new releases. Like, I'll see new releases and I usually pick them up a little while later. Like, I used to love getting games like
Oh yeah.
straight out the gate, and I know you did too.
Oh yeah, old one would have been like two copies, day one special edition to save, a copy to play,
Play,
like
yeah, exactly.
I have a mortgage and kids and car payment, that's not happening anymore, like
Yeah, it gets a bit more difficult, but I do like to try and keep up and like I pick up the games that I want to play, like usually a little while after release.
I just picked up a copy of a Hogwarts Legacy on the Series X.
Oh, really?
I have yet to open it, and I think I'm gonna start playing that after RoboCop. I'm on my second playthrough of RoboCop, so I can get all the achievements because I love me
Nice.
some achievements. So yeah, I'm a little behind, and we didn't talk about this before when we were going over our notes, but I do want to talk about it now really quick. I realized something. So for you guys didn't know, I've been really downsizing my collection, right? So everything behind you doesn't go. So 360 and the wall of Amiibos, that stays, right? So Amiibos are my first love, always will be. It then goes comic books and then like World of Nintendo and things like that. But I did realize something. I was having a conversation with my wife the other day, and it was about her uncle, and he likes to play VR. Well, he used to, right? And when he played VR is when he'd play with his dad. His dad passed away, and then he has no interest in playing his VR, his MetaQuest anymore, right? And that made me realize something, especially when downsizing my games and what I collect and everything, is growing up, my brother Mike was really the what really got me started in games. And we've talked about this, I think, in our first pod where we had a Sega Genesis and a Super Nintendo, and I thought I was like king shit, right? Like I was going to school, I got boats, and then that made me realize that when my brother died, kind of that passion for that died with him, like I no longer, like, don't get me wrong, I still want to play games, I still like enjoy playing them, it's just that's no longer me, want to collect games, right? I've sold a shitload of Switch stuff. Mm-hmm. I had a complete Super Rare Games collection. 99% of it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, like...
And that's the thing, is, like, stuff like that in your life, like, can change... Like, it changes your perspective on things.
Oh, yeah, like, big time.
By no means are you any less, like, a gamer or anything, but, like, the appeal of, like, collecting the games and, like,
being
hardcore like that, like, sort of, like, went with that.
Yeah, dude. It's, like I said, I still like to buy the occasional game, and if I really want to play it, then absolutely. We're going to talk a lot about games today, you know, mm-hmm. and the Switch 2, and, like, we just got done with, like, the Xbox announcements, the, you know, the state, Sony State of Play and things like that. So we got to, and there's games I am legitimately excited for, you know, and it's just, I might not play them until the year after or,
a while after. Cause that's the thing as well, especially like saying we'll touch on it a little bit, like with the way games pricing is. It's getting harder and harder to like get those like releases like when they come out, because like, you know, like we get older, we have more responsibilities, money's got to go to other places. So like I always pick up the games that I want to play, like at the, I'll always have games that I see that I'm like, I want that, like I'm gonna get it, but most of the time now it's usually a couple of months, maybe even longer. After
I'm the king of the backlog, man. Like,
yeah, I've got such a backlog of games to get through.
The majority of my new games are still sealed. Like, I'll get to them eventually, you know.
Yeah,
hopefully someday, you know. But yeah,
but at the end of the day, it does become a little bit difficult, and time as well, like another thing, like so much like other stuff going on that I have less and less time to play the games. But I try to cut out like a decent amount of time whenever I can to get through some of the backlog. Get through it eventually. Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff on our list here that I'm excited to like talk about and excited to go through.
Of course, the biggest thing we're going to talk about right now is the Switch 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I'll ever get a Switch 2. Maybe someday. Maybe I'll trade in my OLED. Who knows? But you did get a Switch 2, right?
I did indeed. And it was so obviously a Switch 2 released like a few weeks ago now. And I messaged one like before it was coming out, and I'm like, "Are you getting a Switch 2?" Because one like. As we know, we have a Nintendo fan, like we both are, but I'm like, are you going to get it? Because, like we say, old one would have had the pre-order in, like, like way before.
It would have been paid for, just and, waiting to go pick it up.
Like, it shows the, like, the kind of the difference you were talking about, because you got back to me and was like, look, I don't even play my Switch 1.
Yeah, like, I don't even play much, one I have like, right now, yeah.
So I'm not going to pick one up. I was really excited about it. So I did pick one up and I brought it along. Had to bring it along to show, like, so we're going to go through our thoughts on this. Obviously anyone listening to the podcast, you wouldn't be able to see it, but here is a Switch 2.
You know, if I would have thought about it, I would have brought my other Switch upstairs so we could compare it to size.
Yeah, I should have done. I didn't think about it, to be honest, but it's quite a bit larger than the original Switch, which I do like. I do like the larger.
It's noticeably larger. Like, the screen is noticeably larger.
Like, even just, like, if you don't have another one side-by-side, like, you can tell, like, it's considerably larger than the last. The larger screen size, they also, like, they went right to the edge, which I really like with the screen. Like
the bezel. There's
hardly a bezel. On the original Switch, like, it wasn't... They improved it on the OLED, like they went further out, but I do like the fact that the screen goes all the way out on the Switch 2 from the get-go. I got sound on here. But yeah, like, what are your thoughts? I have my thoughts.
I tinkered around with it just for a few minutes. I haven't played anything. I did, like, I'm in the store right now, the Nintendo eShop, and yeah, it's so much smoother. Like, the old eShop was just a clunky pile of shit, you know? Like,
yeah, I did notice that. Like, they did really improve the, like, the eStore experience. Like, everything feels smoother. It looks nicer, in my opinion. Like,
yeah, no, it's great. We are taking a vacation at the end of the year, and We are going to be spending quite a few hours on a plane, so I might have to upgrade. I don't know. I'm weird because I get something in my head like that I have to have. I won't stop until I get it,
Yeah.
Like I get something in my head, then I get obsessed with that thing, and then I'm like, I must have everything of that
Everything
thing ever
will
made,
be, yeah.
all variants, and I'm getting away from that a little bit, but it still does exist into me, and I do catch myself doing that sometimes. So if I really want to switch to, and then I'll make the switch to happen,
Yeah.
it's like with Amiibos. Like I got my first one back in 2013, and from that point forward, like
It was downhill from that.
I need every Amiibo ever, all variants from all countries, and I do have all of that up to a certain point,
Yeah.
and so it's nice. But yeah, the Switch 2 looks great. A few things I want to talk about the Switch 2 is game costs, right? They are much more expensive than your traditional cart.
Yeah, so game cost is honestly for me, the game cost is probably like one of the few like downsides. Like I'm really stoked on the Switch 2. I've been playing it. Like I really like the new Joy-Cons. There's a lot of good that I have to say about it, but the game cost is one of the areas where I'm like I don't love the like, and it's happening across all like areas. Like games are getting more expensive, but I don't love the price of Switch games, what they've gone up to
Yeah.
with the release of the Switch 2.
Like me, I'm all about value. Like 99% of all these games in this exist in this room were bought either on sale or just just flash sale or used or whatever, so.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like with the Switch, like with Nintendo as well, like I this like viewers will know and you'll know, like I'm a PC gamer and
Yeah.
like a lot of the time, like a lot of my Steam library was bought during Steam sales or like when games are on, like PC games go on sale often, and we usually get like very like big savings on PC games, especially like 2 or 3 years older games. So I love that. Like I always pick up my games on sale. The one thing with Nintendo is games don't often go on sale, especially
Yeah.
like the first party titles. And with games costing so much, like it's frustrating because it limits like the amount of like I still get all the games that I want, like we were saying, but like I don't get games as frequently. Like I still haven't got the new Mario Kart for this because I couldn't get a console with it included. And like the like 70, almost $80 like sale price on games is it's tough. It's a tough sell.
Was that Mario Kart that came with the bundle? Is it digital or is it the actual
It's
physical?
digital, it's
Oh, okay.
preloaded. Which I wish they'd include a like did it as a physical
Yeah, like
like
they used
including.
to, yeah.
But yeah, it was either preloaded or a game code that was included. It was completely digital. Which like the Mario Kart included version was only like $50 more, which is why I ideally wanted that because like it's essentially getting the game for $50, which
Yeah.
is nice. But unfortunately, they were all sold out at the GameStop that I went to. So I was happy to get the
I was gonna
console.
say, you got one,
At the
that's
end of the
nice.
day, like I was getting the console, like I was aiming for the with Mario Kart, but I was getting it either way, and I'm just happy that like I got the console. I will be picking up Mario Kart. It's gonna be a little bit later, because of the cost of the game,
You should have
honestly.
said something. I would have taken you to Costco, man, because I hear
Oh
Costco is pretty flush to Switch 2s, so I ain't too
yeah,
worried about it. Like,
it's all
if I
good.
ever get around to it, I'll find one way or another,
Yeah. But I am stoked about the new Mario Kart. It looks pretty good. Like I say, there's a
It's like an open world Mario
yeah,
Kart,
it is. I have a lot of good things to say about the Switch. I really like the new Joy-Cons. The new Joy-Con design with the magnetic like pop off at the side. Really cool. The mouse controls, surprisingly good. I was when I saw the like the direct about it and they're like, oh, it's got mouse controls, I was instantly like very skeptical. I'm like,
That's kind of
yeah, it's
gimmicky,
a little bit gimmicky, but like I can see the use in it. Like I've used it once. I tested it out to see what the mouse controls were going to be like, because I was expecting them to be pretty bad. surprised. I was pleasantly surprised. I don't know realistically like how often or when I'm gonna use that as a feature, but it was surprisingly good. It was better than I expected it to be, so I can't really complain there. I like the new kickstand design
Yeah, it looks cool.
with this, with the full like the full circular range. Like, it's nice. I have a lot of good things to say about it. And like I wanted to talk a bunch about it on the podcast, because it's kind of one of the big like the big releases that's happened between our last episode and now.
Well, and so another thing I want to talk about is not only like code on carts, because I know that was a big thing, people thinking every game is just going to be a digital code on a cart, and you put the cart in and it downloads the game for you. And also Nintendo's ability to brick your Switch 2 at any time they want.
Oh, that is a very good, so that's a very good point, and it has been like shown off already.
Yeah. He's
That's
to spend
something.
all this money on this brand new console, and Nintendo's like, no,
Yeah,
brick your
see,
shit, you
I
know?
do like I don't love that idea, but I do understand it and I do get it. And I'm not in the least bit surprised from Nintendo either. Like, it's a very Nintendo play to
But I
make.
heard too, if you use the wrong peripherals or if there's a change in voltage or whatever, it'll also do it to your system. You know, even to that amount of detail, I'm like, so you can't save a few bucks and go, say, buy like a third party like
A
charger or
charger.
something, and then it's gonna like.
And that's the thing is, like, I know with the Switch 1, like, especially the original Switch 1, like, there was, like, issues with some third-party, like,
The
chargers and
docks,
stuff that,
yeah.
like, didn't work, but they didn't brick your console. Like, it is, like I say, I'm not surprised from Nintendo. It's very much in Nintendo's MO, but it is a little bit frustrating, like stuff like using a third-party charger, like especially like Nintendo chargers, like with the Switch One, like their replacement chargers were like 60, 70
Yeah, it was
bucks,
ridiculous.
and like like the Switch is also aimed at like kids, like all ages, but kids. But like I just imagine like like your kid like breaks their charger or whatever, sits on the charger, and like now you're stuck in a position where like, as like a parent that's maybe not like is just getting by or
Yeah.
whatever, like I'm now forced to like spend the 60, 70, potentially 80 bucks for a Nintendo branded charger, whereas a third party option, like 30 or 40 bucks, is a much easier swallow. But now I run the risk of like bricking my console
Yeah.
because I'm trying to
Oh, I
like
agree, man. Like,
try and get by. I don't like it. Like, and it's I get why, because they want you to use Nintendo supplied and specific stuff.
I get protecting your IP and your
Yeah.
whatever, but at the same time, like,
It's.
yeah, like, you're gonna get a
I.
cut no
And the
matter what,
thing
but.
is, right, like, with that, I can understand, like, the protecting your IP with regards to, like, modding and
Yeah.
emulators. Like, Nintendo are notorious for like going after people over ROMs and emulating and stuff like that. And that I completely understand, because like that is protecting your IP. At the end of the day, you don't want people like cracking your games and playing them for free, stuff like that. To an extent, there are some areas of that that I do think Nintendo goes a little bit far, but that's a whole nother conversation. But down to stuff like peripherals and like chargers, like
That's bad
stuff
news
like
bears,
that.
man.
Like, I wonder, like, if I use a third party like USB-C camera, because like the Switch 2 has like webcam
Yeah.
functionality, which you can use with game chat. Like, and
I
there are,
heard it's garbage, though.
yeah, I don't, I haven't tested it. I do want to test the game chat and whatnot. It's something I might do a video on the channel about it at
You
some point,
absolutely, man.
because I think it would make a good video testing that. I don't expect it to be good, but like I appreciate that like its functionality they added in, but I do wonder, like, if I go and like pick up a fairly cheap like webcam, USB-C webcam off Amazon, like I don't know how much the like the Nintendo one is off the top of my head, but like
I've heard people compare like the camera like for the Switch 2 is like a PlayStation iToy, like that
kind of
quality.
Oh, really? That
kind of
quality.
Yeah, I've seen videos too.
I do
kind of want to
pick
really
one up
bad.
And do a video.
You have to. You have to now, man.
I think I will. I want to use the functionality, but I think I'll do a video on the channel. I'll pick up the camera at some point and see what the quality is like and see, because I'm interested as well, like with the whole game chat, like they did show like the screen sharing and like the webcam, and it to Nintendo's credit, in the reveal trailer, like it didn't look like great quality. The screen share kind of looked low resolution, low FPS, and that's what I'd expect, but I did give them props for including it as functionality, because I think there's a use case for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with like families and friends, that's where I see it, because not to tangent too much, but like I was talking to my friend about it, and they were like, we have Discord, like we have like things, like when am I gonna use like game chat? And I'm like, yes, for us, like us people who play games all the time, and this is what we do, like we're still going to use Discord, like we're still going to use other means of chat and screen sharing and whatnot. But like, take the average family who like they bought their kid a Switch 2 and like they want to play with their family member who lives in another state or whatever, like to the average person, they're not gonna
that's Discord. True, it's more user friendly.
Like,
yeah,
it's user, like I like that they added the functionality to give people that option, that like people that aren't like gamers like us that are going to be using like specific applications or whatever. That's my tangent on that. I think it's good and bad. I don't think the quality is going to be great, but I think it has a good use case. But like, if I go and buy like a third party camera, is it going to like brick my console?
Yeah.
Because I didn't get Nintendo's specific camera or like Nintendo's specific, like, I think is really stupid. Like, from a, like, a protecting your IP standpoint, like, and protecting your, like, your property, I think it's just stupid, because the more, like, stuff with, like, peripherals and, like, chargers and stuff like that, that gives accessibility to your product. And, like, if you limit that accessibility to only Nintendo products, like, and no third party, like, for fear of bricking your console, like, it just limits accessibility to, like, the average everyday person.
Yeah.
That maybe doesn't have the money to pay Nintendo prices, but still wants to be able to jump on the webcam with their family or friend or whatever. Like, I just think it's silly.
It's silly.
And, like, like I say, I can, to an extent, I can understand Nintendo wanting to protect their IP with games, and like a lot of the bricked consoles have come from people using like action replay carts and like stuff like that. And that I understand, like trying to like fundamentally like break the game to change or adapt it. There's a couple of arguments. Again, that could be a whole another topic of conversation, but why with chargers? Why with peripherals? I don't understand it.
Quick question for you. It's probably a silly question. Is it still region free?
Yes, as far as I'm aware.
Is this technically?
Actually, no. It's 100% region free.
Okay. Because
I now have a mix of US and UK games.
Okay.
Because I brought like all of my Switch stuff over, and I've used both like cartridges from. So it is still region free.
Is this technically your first US based console that you purchased?
Yes, it is.
Switch 2. All right, yeah. I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh, this
it's a interesting point you bring up, actually, because I bought my OLED, my Tears of the Kingdom OLED, before I moved out.
Yeah.
So, and my original Switch was from the UK as well. So, yeah, this is my first ever, like, bought in the USA console.
Nice, man.
Which is kind of cool, actually. I didn't think about that.
So, Switch 2 also announced was a new amiibo.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't done a podcast in so long. Not only are the new amiibo announced, but some of them already released.
Yeah.
Like the new Tears of the Kingdom amiibo.
I
will not show all of them, but like there's, you know, I have all these ones. The Construct isn't released yet. There's going to be a Street Fighter amiibo. I think they're out already. And then Street Fighter amiibo cards, and then also a new Donkey Kong amiibo, mm-hmm. which I'll get, of course.
Yes.
Even though I'll probably not own the
game. I imagine the Donkey Kong one will probably coincide with the release of the Donkey yes. Kong game.
And they are more expensive. Like I was telling Dave earlier, they've essentially doubled in price.
Yeah.
Where new amiibo used to be $15-16, and they're now $30, you know, going on $40. And
yeah, it's crazy. And that's the thing, is like, it's not just the games that have gone up in price. Like amiibos, like almost doubling in prices.
And here's the thing too, I don't know, like, because it has to do with the price, but they're not that hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
Like these, I didn't get them on release day, and I got them from Double Jump Video Games website, and no problem.
It's just easy availability.
They're everywhere. You can go to Best Buy right now, walk in and grab a full set, you know?
Yeah.
And as before, they would crash websites, you know?
Like, yeah, I was going to say, like, especially some of these, I imagine you had to...
Yeah, well, I forget which release it was. It was a GameStop exclusive. I think... I don't remember which, but it crashed GameStop's website.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they used to be, like... Not widely available, and
yeah,
like, people would go crazy for them, and especially like the pricing they used to be. Like you think $15-16 isn't really much nothing to
yeah.
some most people, but like $30 going on $40 is a much harder pill to swallow, especially in the like current state of the economy. And
that's why I'm not too worried about reserving them like I used to, because now I know I can just walk in and get whatever I want. You know, like. And then, too, with pre-ordering, I used to pre-order from Amazon. Was always nervous about Amazon because they would throw amiibo into a bubble mailer. Mm. And by the time it got to, it was just all crumbled. The amiibo itself would be fine, but the packaging would be... Like, the Skyward Sword amiibo was an Amazon exclusive. And I remember seeing... And I pre-ordered. I managed to get one. And I remember seeing on Reddit and in Facebook, like, all these guys getting their pre-orders in a bubble mailer. And it just being absolutely decimated, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, I hope mine doesn't show up. But luckily, when mine showed up, by God's good graces, man, it was perfectly fine. I'm like,
phew. Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing. It's like, they were so, like, sought after and difficult to get. Like, if you took the chance and, like, it ended up coming in, like, wrecked, like, you were kind of stuck for a long while trying to get another one. Like,
especially with those, because... Skyward Sword, Twilight Princess, what was it? Was it the Ocarina of Time? And there was another one. It was the kid.
Is it the Wind Waker? Majora's Mask?
May have been... I can't remember, but they're all exclusive. One was Best Buy, one was GameStop, one was Amazon. This, like, with Shulk, Meta Knight, and... I forget the other one. They're all, like, Best Buy exclusive, you know, GameStop. So you would really have to... Oh, I think one of them was Target exclusive. I forget exactly which one.
That sounds about right.
And like Gold Mario was a Walmart exclusive, if I remember correctly. And I think Toad. I think you can only get Toad at Walmart too. I can't remember. But yeah, it's been a while. I'm getting old. So my memory's not what it used to be, you know? So
yeah, I feel bad.
I welcome new amiibo. I think they're starting to wind down from amiibo.
Yeah, I get that feeling as well. Because like... It feels like each like cycle there's less and less amiibo. Like I remember like way back in the day, like amiibo, like
there was, oh yeah, it was the thing.
They was the thing. They were everywhere. Like they were like crazy.
I think now
it's like we still get amiibo releases, but like they're like a lot less. It does feel like they're winding down on the
absolutely. On the amiibo. And I think the new ones we got before this were the Splatoon amiibo,
mm-hmm.
and that was a while back.
That was a while.
Yeah, back. Or it could have been. I don't think it was Smash. It was Splatoon.
It was definitely Splatoon because they had Splatoon. Splatoon 3 came out. Did they do amiibos for Splatoon?
They did. 3? And it was two different 2-packs. I have them up there somewhere. They're not in any particular order.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of Splatoons up there.
I have every version of every Splatoon from every region ever. Because I'm kind of weird that way. You know?
I get it.
They need a protector anyway. That's what just me being OCD. But yeah, so it took a while. What I'm hoping they do is they take these four and make a 4-pack like this. This one's from Japan, man.
I love this. I Breath of the Wild, I've said before, is probably my number one game. seeing these guys in the full pack. I love
I have these guys as singles too up here somewhere, but then I have to have the four pack, right?
Yeah.
PAL got a four pack, Japan got the four pack, and then, of course, we got the singles.
Yeah, you got the singles.
So, and I already looked to see if they were making a four pack. They might still someday, but as of right now, Amazon Japan did not have a four pack. Because if they did, I wouldn't bother.
Yeah.
Yeah, new Amiibo is exciting, but again, I think we're at the end of the Amiibo life.
Yeah, I think so. I do wonder if there'll be like a new thing, like maybe throughout like the Switch 2's life cycle, if they do wind down Amiibos completely.
You know what I do want is one of those Nintendo alarm clocks. What was it called? Amiibo? You're going to have to look it up.
Let me look it up.
Yeah, and it's very gimmicky. It's, I don't know why this one is your phone. I think it's meant more for kids and waking them up or whatever. But it kind of went along the naming conventions of Amiibo.
Is it the Alarmo?
Alarmo, there we go.
Yeah, $100 a GameStop.
There was one at Target for less than that. You know, I saw when I was out on business travel.
Alarmo.
I would never open it. It'd be one of those things that sits on just the shelves for all eternity just to say I have one, you know.
Well, it looks like they're available.
I do need a clock for my office now. Maybe I would open
it. I mean, it's a cool kind of gimmicky idea. I get it, but let's go a little light on the
You didn't know about the Alarmo?
I didn't. I wasn't aware.
See how it goes, Amiibo, Alarmo. I'm like, it has zero Amiibo functionality. It's just literally a Nintendo branded alarm clock. With a screen on it.
That O Amiibo.
Yeah.
Alarmo.
That's the only reason I'd want to buy it, just because I'm like, I have really bad FOMO, if you didn't know. The fear of missing out, you know, and it's like, I gotta get it, you know?
Yeah, and it do be like that.
It do be like that.
I think that it covers out most of like the Switch 2. So like I say, I could yap on for this whole podcast episode about the Switch 2 and Switch 2 games, probably. Maybe I'll just do a separate video on the Switch 2.
Well, there you go.
On the channel.
I would welcome it.
Getting some ideas for some other stuff to do.
Oh, good, man. Write them down. Which don't is, forget. Yeah. It's like me. I'll totally forget.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because obviously, on the YouTube channel, the podcast gets uploaded to the YouTube channel. But Juan makes videos about comic book day. If that's something that anyone's interested in, it's always worth checking out the channel every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday is new comic book day. Yeah. Again, where I like to get my comics is on the completely other end of town, up by your house.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time I can make it there is if I'm picking up my daughter from my mom's house, and which is only maybe once or twice a week.
Yeah.
You know, so very rarely do I actually pick them up on the day they come out. It's usually like on a Friday or Saturday, you know, so
yeah, when you got the time to go over the other side of town. But yeah, if comic books is something that you're interested in, definitely worth checking out. Like Juan goes through all his new comic book pickups. Like I say, the video goes up every week, but it's not usually on the Wednesday, which is new comic book day. But
and I'm getting anywhere from 40 to 50 new comics every week.
Yeah, it's crazy. That
I have huge and like.
It's really cool, though.
What am I doing to myself? You know, like...
But, so there's always that. And then, we'll have other content. Like, I'm going to do a couple of Nintendo videos. I'm also going to start up... I play Disney Locana, the trading card game.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
Start up some videos about that as well. So there's other content on the YouTube as well, other than the podcast. But watch the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun times.
Maybe I'll do a video on just the Switch 2 on the channel as well. That's of interest.
Well, maybe I can do Amiibo videos. I don't know if everyone want to watch them. But like,
I mean, the history of
Amiibos, like Wave 1, Wave 2.
I'd be interested to watch that. I'll be honest.
I like to brag when it comes to Amiibos. I have a full, not just complete set of Smash Amiibos, but a complete set of worldwide releases. Mm-hmm. Like with the Retro 3 pack. Even like the Mii Fighters. The Mii Fighters here was a three pack. And in Europe, they got the individual Meat Fighters. They've re-released them now in the States as individuals
but like back the in the original day, run was, yeah. I mean, Europe got the...
Like, I have an Australian exclusive up there where it's Samus for Smash, but for the 3DS. Nice. That was only in Australia.
You got Sora up there too.
Yeah, like...
I'm always amazed, like, I look at the Amiibo wall, and there's just so many cool Amiibos they came out with.
And there's... Don't get me wrong, I do have one of every single that have come out so far. But for me, I'm a, like, I don't consider it complete to have every version of everyone. Like this guy. This was Japan released. It is Poochie and Pinky Arn Yoshi, right? Pal got a version of this, but it's more of a box. It isn't, like, really this bubble.
Bubble packaging.
This bubble packaging, you know? And I need that one as well. Problem with that one is it's extremely hard to find.
Yeah,
this one in this condition was extremely hard to find, and I paid for that condition. I really did, you know. I've seen one on eBay. Dude wanted close to $700. He wasn't willing to budge. I'm like,
that's
I'm so obsessed. I was like, there's other things I want to buy, you know, at the same time.
It's one of those things as well. It's like they're hard to find, and it's finding one at the price that you're willing to pay for.
And one that's not all messed up.
Yeah, messed up. The right condition, the right pricing. It'll come along. You'll get it, absolutely. I have no doubt. But, yeah. But I'd be interested in Amiibo.
That'd be fun.
Definitely.
I have all the Skylanders box sets up there, you know? I'm not going to get too much into it because I can talk about it for days. I am missing a Monster Hunter's Sunbreak bundle for the Switch, though. That's not very expensive. I just, me forgetting to buy it is what's holding me back from purchasing that one, you know? So.
Yeah.
How about remasters, man? We'll skip down to the remasters.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's scooch on to, what do we got on remasters?
Let's talk really quick about Oblivion Remaster, right?
Yes.
So,
I do want to talk about that. I'm... gonna probably after the podcast I'll fire it up and I'll run around a little bit to get
because
I haven't played the remaster. I played the original Oblivion. Obviously everyone, when they released the remaster, everyone was raving about it for about 3 days. I heard a lot about it from my colleague that I work with, like he was talking about it. But what are your thoughts on the Oblivion remaster?
I love that they put it on Game Pass. Thanks God for Bethesda and Microsoft, you know, being buddies now.
I do love that.
You know, so, and I do Game Pass nowadays because, again, I really don't collect games much anymore. So having Game Pass is nice.
This is a really good idea.
It's $15. I think it's 15. I don't do the bills. My wife handles that. So she just makes sure it's paid. Anyways, and I downloaded it. I'm like, oh, I love Oblivion. I love Elder Scrolls, right? Like, I've been playing Skyrim since the day it came out. I've just recently was playing it, you know, and I'm used to Skyrim. I'm used to the way Skyrim feels, the way it controls, the way it looks. It's in me right now, right? I played the absolute shit out of Oblivion when it first came out. I remember when Oblivion came out, I was laid off from a job, and I got severance, and I lived off my severance for 6 months, and all I did, I'm not even shitting you, was play Oblivion that entire time. 16 hours a day doing everything, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when I used to smoke. So sitting there chain smoking, playing Oblivion. So I love it. DLC, everything. I boot up the Oblivion. Oh, it's going to be great. I got an hour into it and I haven't picked it up since.
That's kind of crazy.
I have not picked it up since. Man.
We talked a little bit about it before the podcast, but like that's so great, like going from like playing the original, like obviously like your circumstances at the time like permitted like the amount that you played, but like being that invested in the game and then like coming up on the remaster or the remake, whatever it is, and then like getting an hour deep and kind of being like not too fast, you know, about picking it back up, it's a little bit rough.
I love the story. I love, you know, like going into Oblivion, closing all the Oblivion gates and Kvatch. And I remember the feeling I had when I first played that game, because to me, that experience when I got my 360 was absolutely new. It was exciting. I booted up and I'm playing. I'm like, I don't ever remember it feeling like this. I don't remember the controls. I like in Skyrim, I love being a stealth archer. Mm-hmm. You can totally do archery in Oblivion. It is not the
it
same.
Doesn't feel it the same.
It is at 100% not the same. You know, I was like, I don't remember it being this.
Yeah.
You know, the way it feels. It looks great. Don't get me wrong. Looks fantastic. I love the voice acting. A little cheap, you know. I don't remember it being what it is.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, that's, like, the unfortunate thing about, like, remasters and, like, some remakes, I guess, is, like, especially for, like, older games that, like, you have a lot of hours in when you were younger, like, when you were a kid or when you were, like, teenager, and then, like, the game gets announced, you get a remaster, and you're like, oh, hell yeah, I get excited about it, and then it just doesn't quite, like, live up to, like, what you remember it being like is... It's unfortunate.
But here's the weird thing. Skyrim was also on the 360.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, Skyrim, yes, there's like 9,000 versions of it, still feels the same as I played it, and it feels the same as I remember it.
Yeah.
You know? Even though it's been over 10 years since it's come out, you know? It's and still...
It's, yeah, it's released on every console.
It's so polished. It's so good. You know? Depending on who you ask if it's polished or not, you know.
It's Bethesda polished.
Yeah,
isn't
and
it? Really,
I love
like...
Bethesda. I love everything Bethesda, you know, Bethesda, excuse me. And
Oblivion just didn't
it didn't
them.
Do it, man.
Didn't hit them all.
And I think maybe too, I'm aging myself to the point where maybe I have old man syndrome a little bit, like,
yeah. And to be fair, I get that feeling as well. Like, I'm really like that when it comes to control schemes, especially on remakes and remasters. If you don't update the controls, because, like, I'm in the same boat with, like, I have memories of games, like, and then, like, they'll get a remaster. And, like, if, for me, like, I'm really specific about controls. And the reason I don't go back to old games that I loved as a kid as much is because I'm very, like, picky about controls. And
yeah.
A lot of old games, like, I have old game, like, control mechanics and whatnot. So, like, I was used to it when I was a kid and I loved the game, but I don't get the same enjoyment going back. So, like, when it gets a remaster, I'm like, okay, I can get the enjoyment out, but still have, like, the updated, like, modern controls and, like, control mechanics. But, like, some games just don't
know what I want. I want Oblivion in the Skyrim engine with Skyrim controls.
Mm-hmm.
With the same,
like, by all means, like, have the polish of,
yeah,
like, the visual look of Oblivion.
I guess
that'd
be considered a remake and not a remaster.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing, is like, it's this, like, this way up between a remake and a remaster, like, remaster, like, when I think about, like, remasters and whatnot, it's like, it's the same game, but you overhaul, like,
yeah,
everything. You know, like, the mechanics are updated, like, the visuals are updated, you get quality of life features added, like, stuff that, like, you'd expect from a new game, but you still get the enjoyment of, like, the old game that you know and love.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, like, it seems like Oblivion, did that on the graphics side and made it look great, but missed the mark on, like, the feel of the game.
Yeah, the combat. Like, this, was it always as bad, or was it, or is it just, or I just never had that experience, you know? And I've,
yeah,
since played better games, and now it feels completely dated, you know?
Mm.
I think we get a little jaded in that way, too.
And that's kind of how I feel, like, to link back to the start, I've been playing, like, King's Road,
mm-hmm,
and that's how I feel. Like, it feels like a game that I would have played in 2015, but released in 2025.
Yeah.
But
they still can be fun, like RoboCop Rogue City. Like, I'll show that to you too. Like,
it's... and that's the thing. Like, I'm enjoying playing the game. It just doesn't feel like a game from this year.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And I think some remakes, like, really, like, hit with that, where, like, visually they look good, or, like, in some aspects they feel like it, but in other aspects they don't, like, hit the mark, or it doesn't feel like a remake or a remake.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's difficult, but we are getting some more remastered games coming out over the next little bit.
What else we got there, Dave?
So we're due Tomb Raider 4-6 remaster. which I don't know that I've played Tomb Raider 4 to 6, to be honest. I remember playing, like, on PlayStation 1, like, the year of, like, Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Like, the Shut Your Butler in the Fridge Tomb Raider.
See, me and the wife have those remasters. And
yeah, you were saying you had the they did the 1 to 3 remaster already. Yeah,
we got the special editions on the Switch I reserved it for. My wife does like play games. Like, hey, you want this? She'll say, yeah, so I'll reserve her a copy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, remasters. Controls are still the same. It looks slightly prettier, but...
Yeah. And that's why, like... That's kind of like, I don't know that I'll get like the Tomb Raider remasters. I do have to admit, the like the newer gen, like Tomb Raiders, so you had like Tomb Raider and then Rise of the Tomb Raider and Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
They're decent games.
I really enjoyed those games. Like, I actually haven't played Shadow of the Tomb Raider yet. I do want to get it, but I really enjoyed Tomb Raider and then Rise of the Tomb Raider. I played those like all the way through both those games and was like really hooked on them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know that, like, I care all that much about, like, remasters or remakes of the old, like, Tomb Raider games.
Yeah, I'm not going to be rushing out day one to pick them up. Like,
yeah.
I'll wait till Black Friday sale, and then when it's $20, I'll pick it up.
Yeah, when it's in the sale, I'll, like, and I can get it for, like, while I'm picking up.
And if I want to play the originals, I'll just yank it off the shelf, you know? Like, yeah. I'm not a huge fan.
So we got Tomb Raiders coming out as a remaster, Tony Hawk 3 and 4, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4.
Feelings about that as well.
I played, obviously, like, the original OG Tony Hawk's Pro Skaters. I played them a little bit, but I really got into Tony Hawk's Underground. Like, I did Underground, and then I did, what was it called? Oh, Proving Ground. One of the two like skate games that I really loved, because I used to skateboard a lot when I was a kid, so like Tony Hawk's like skateboarding games, awesome. But like the Pro Skaters, I didn't really play too much of. And we got the remaster of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. Did you play 1 and 2?
I did. So I've talked about it before. My first experience with Tony Hawk was on the Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
I have a demo disc, or I had it. I've since sold them because I had a couple of them, where it had a demo Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 on it, and I played the absolute shit out of that demo, you know, just over. And it was only like one level, and I just played over. And I played it so much at one point, I'm like, I need the actual game.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and got the game, and then on the Dreamcast, and then I even got the first one on the Dreamcast. And I love those games. Again, it goes back to what we were talking about with the Oblivion remake. Like, I bought me and my wife copies on the Switch. They're sitting up on the shelf right now. Does not feel
the same. And that's why I
worry. I honestly think maybe it's me at this point. Like, I understand some people can go back and do it, but like...
Yeah, I feel like I've been too spoiled by updated controls and mechanics. Like,
it's... Like, I remember, even back in the day, I bought Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 on the PlayStation 2 because I was such a big fan. I'm like, oh, it didn't feel the same. I loved number 2 so much at the time that 3 didn't feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
I sold it to a friend. And I don't sell that, you know, like.
Yeah. I had that way with the skate games on Xbox 360. Skate 1, I loved. I played the crap out of that game when I could. I didn't have a 360.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 killed the skateboarding games for me because I didn't play skate. I have them. I don't want to play them. You know?
That's fair. I liked Skate 1. Skate 2 was fine. Skate 3 I actually picked up on Xbox One. Like, they have it on there. And I played through that a bit, but, like, it did not... Like, it didn't give me the feeling that I got from Skate 1. Like, and I played, like, I don't know, maybe 3-4 hours of it, and, like, I haven't picked it up again since. But I picked it up for, like, $4. It was, like, on sale. I'm like, oh, I'll pick it up because, like, I like the skate games. And then it didn't feel like I felt when I played Skate 1. But, like, I had the same kind of thing with, like, the Pro Skaters. Like, I preferred Tony Hawk's Underground.
Yeah.
I preferred the linear, like, missions and storyline of like the underground games and then Tony Hawk's Proving Ground to the more like sort of arcade style of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. So I didn't pick up. I saw the remakes for 1 and 2, and I was going to pick them up on PS4, and I ended up not getting them. And then I saw recently, like, oh, they're making 3, like, remaking 3 and 4. And I'm like, that's cool that they're remaking them, but I'm probably not
going to. Yeah, no. Unless my wife wants them, then.
I was going to say, if they did, a remake of Tony Hawk's Underground or Tony Hawk's Proving Ground, I'd probably consider picking it up. But, like, I don't know, maybe not even then. Like, especially with Tony Hawk's Underground, I have, like, I know how I felt playing that game. Like, I grinded through that game. Like, I played the absolute crap out of it. I completed it. I did a good chunk of, like, the, like, outside of the main mission stuff. So, like, if they remake it, it's going to be good. Because I know how I felt, like, yeah, playing it. And I, like...
Like, I played so much of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 that I used to be able to beat the entire game with one skater, one board, never upgrading the stats, never upgrading the board. He's able to run through that game, beat it, no problem.
Yeah.
So I had everything down pat, like where all the hidden letters are at, all the secrets.
Yeah, everything. She had all the like the additional like collectibles and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Like I think it's cool that they're like the gang remakes, but like again, I probably won't be rushing out to get 3 and 4.
And another remake that I wish they would announce but didn't, but now that I'm thinking about it, is the Fallout 3 remaster.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we talked a little bit about how FPS remakes kind of hold up a little bit better just because of the control scheme.
Yeah, because FPS, like, they tend to have a bit more precision in the control scheme because of the type of game. So like, we talked a little bit about it with Halo.
So I don't think I'm too scared. I was going to show you my Fallout 3 special edition.
I was going to say, you have the special edition.
Yeah, which I am selling, by the way, eventually, because I'm past special editions now. And anyways, but I'm like, am I worried about that remake if it does come out because of how I feel about Oblivion? Maybe not. I think it'd still be a cool game to play remastered just because. And what I just thought about, too, is... You know what game does hold up for all the remasters? Yeah, it's the Mario remasters that came out on the Switch with Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy.
Yes.
Amazing!
Yeah.
How can those games be older than any of these other ones and their remakes absolutely 100% hold up? Like.
Yeah, it's super interesting. Like.
It's still the same controls. It's still the same everything. It looks better. Games are amazing.
Yeah, and it still gives you the same, like, it's a really weird one. Like, maybe it's just all, like individual perspectives.
Maybe those games weren't as good as we thought they were.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe that. Like, maybe I'm blowing all these games out of proportion in my own head, and, like...
Exactly, you know?
They're not as good as I thought they were. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, Nintendo's really weird in that sense as well, because, like... Some of that stuff is fantastic, and then some of it's not. Like I take like Pokemon, like the latest Pokemon games, like Scarlet and Violet. Like Game Freak, there's been a meme going around actually about like another game. I don't know what the other game was made by Game Freak, but Game Freak makes the mainline Pokemon games, and Scarlet and Violet were like heavily criticized for their like poor performance. But Game Freak also made this other game recently that like the performance, the graphics are all incredible, and people are like, this is the same people making these two games. They're like polar opposites at the end of the spectrum. But it does feel like that with Nintendo sometimes. Like sometimes they're really like super good and like way ahead of the curve, and then sometimes they just really miss the mark by miles. And I think like Super Mario Odyssey, I really enjoyed it.
I think,
like, collectively, like, everyone has a good opinion about Mario Odyssey. It ran well. It was fun to play. It was great, like, a great new, like, take on the Mario, like, platforming and whatnot. And then I look at, like, stuff like the newest Pokemon, and I'm like, You really missed the mark. Like, how did you do so good here, but so bad here?
Maybe and it's like, budgets. Maybe they didn't have as much.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like,
to me, Pokemon nowadays is a lot to do with a cash grab, you know? Like,
that's the thing as well. Is like, I made this argument, like, talking to my friend about it, because, like, she was raging about how, like, awful the performance of Pokemon was. But, like, how much, like, she loves Pokemon games. And I'm like, you gotta think about it this way. Like, Nintendo doesn't need to sell Pokemon anymore.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's such a massive, like, franchise and such a big thing. People are gonna buy the mainline Pokemon games, whether they're incredible or dog crap, like, because it's got Pokemon on it. So, like, I don't know that they necessarily, like, put as much effort in or try when it comes to, like, Pokemon games compared to other, like, major releases.
Yeah, they're just getting them out there, you know?
Because, like, they know they're going to sell. Whereas, like, Mario Odyssey, for example, it was a whole new... When Mario Odyssey came out, it was a whole new take on Mario. Like, so they're like, oh, we have to make it good because we don't want it to flop.
Yeah.
Because it's like we're doing a brand new thing, so we've got to do the brand new thing good. Same with like Breath of the Wild. It was a new take on Zelda that hadn't been done in a Zelda game before.
I know you love Breath of the Wild. I'm not the biggest fan of Breath of the Wild.
We have a differing opinion on
it. Yeah, we do. That's cool. It's
and that's fine. That's what we love. That's why this podcast works so well.
That's right.
We can have those differing opinions. But that's the thing. Yeah. It's like... Huh? Yeah. But, like, that's the thing is I feel like if, like, Nintendo know that something's going to sell, they don't put as much effort into it because they're like, we don't have to sell this. But, like, if there's something new or, like, something that they, like, might be, like, they might need to try and push, they're like, okay, we'll put more effort into this. It's just, it's weird.
I agree, man. So we have a list of other games that are not Nintendo related. There's quite a big list here, so I'm going to say we don't spend too much on single title because there's a lot.
Agreed.
So these are all new games that were announced. They're coming out. The first one that Dave saw the trailer for the first time today is Game of Thrones, The War for Westeros. Now, this is a real-time strategy game, which, as we both said, we're not huge fans of.
Mm.
But if you watch the last three episodes of the podcast, which are all Game of Thrones related, you know that we have very strong opinions about the show.
Yeah.
And what it looks like from this game is it allows you to change the outcome of how that show ended.
Yeah, because it, like, from the trailer, it, like, it's set, like, in the same time period, the same, like, what...
Same characters. Look like the characters in the show.
But, like, it's a real-time strategy game. So, like, you're commanding, like, whether it be, like, the Lannisters or the Starks or, like, whatever, you're commanding that army. So, like, the way you take the story is the way the story goes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it does look like you could change up the whole way the thing ends. And Juan might be able to facilitate his wonderful ending.
Yeah, I think that's the only way that it's ever going to happen, right? So, yeah. Even though I'm not into RTSs, I might have to play this one just so I can see.
Yeah, I won't touch on it too much. But, like, we both sort of, like, were talking about it before the podcast, and we were like, yeah, I think even though RTS aren't our game, we're both going to pick it up and at least put some time into it, because we both love Game of Thrones, as is evident from the previous episodes. And we both like the idea of being able to, like, change the outcome. Like, you know, have it go, like, take command of, like, whatever, like, force you want to take command of and like, you know, campaign through Westeros. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It does.
And, yeah, I'll take on an RTS for see what it's like. That's scheduled for release next year, right, I think?
I think so, yeah. I think it was 2026. We got a little while.
Yeah.
Okay, you take the next one, sir.
So, okay, there's a couple of other, like, Nintendo titles. So, like, we'll skim over these fairly quickly. Like, Metroid Prime 4.
It's been a long time coming. Mm-hmm. A very long time. I picked up the Metroid Prime Remaster on the Switch. Have yet to play it. I did play the original. Fairly decent game. Do I care about Prime 4 now?
Not really. No. I was gonna say I've never been a big Metroid like player. I played a little bit of Metroid way back in the day, but I didn't pick up the Metroid Prime Remaster. I know someone who was raving about it being like really good, but like again, like Metroid's never been a high like game on my priorities list. So
I've had Metroid Prime 4 reserved at GameStop for years. So long, as a matter of fact, that we knew it was going to come out on this last system that they actually finally canceled my pre-order.
Because it's,
it's Switch been to them, so years and years and years and years.
So that, like, that's coming up again, like, not really all that fussed about Metroid. Pokemon Legends Z to A is something I'm a little bit more excited about because I'm a bit more of a Pokemon fan than Juan is. And I really they did Pokemon Legends Arceus, which was a step away from the mainline games, but was very, very well done. Again, like, also developed by Game Freak, much better experience and a much better, like, fun time playing, in my opinion, than the mainline games that Game Freak also developed for Pokemon, which is a bit weird, but that's why I'm excited about the new Legends game, because the first one was a step away from, like, in a lot of aspects from how Pokemon as a game runs, but it was super fun, super enjoyable, and a really nice new take. I'm excited to see what they do with the new Pokemon Legends game coming out. That's supposed to release later this year. So I'm excited to see what happens with that.
New Donkey Kong game. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called.
It is... I don't know.
Nanorail or some weird...
Bonanza, maybe?
Maybe you're right. It might be Bonanza. Turn my read back.
Yeah, Donkey Kong Bonanza.
It looks really good.
It does.
It might be the reason I have to get a Switch too.
I was gonna say, maybe. I'm not the biggest Donkey Kong fan. I haven't really played much in the way of Donkey Kong games.
Is Donkey Kong 64 on the?
I believe it's on the Switch emulator.
Yeah, on the Switch. Yeah.
Like on the Nintendo Online.
Yeah. N64. See, that was a really cool game. Think Banjo Kazooie, but Donkey Kong. Looking great.
But I'm, like, as someone who's not really a big Donkey Kong person, I saw the trailer and, like, the stuff that the material that they put out about the new Donkey Kong game, and it looks fun. It looks super fun.
Yeah.
And, like, I might be picking up the new Donkey Kong game, because it looks like a blast, honestly. Kind of excited about that. And excited to see how that plays as a new game.
Yeah, me too. Might be the reason I get a Switch too, but maybe not. Anyways, next up we have Death Stranding 2 going into some Sony Xbox stuff.
Yes, Death Stranding 2. I didn't play Death Stranding 1.
Me either.
But my good friend back home, like, was obsessed with it. Like, he played it for, like, probably a month and a half straight after it came out. He played it on his stream a little bit. Like, he every time I was at his house, he was playing Death Stranding. So I got, like, a glimpse of, like, a backseat gaming perspective of the game, and it looks fine. Obviously, the second one's... I don't really know a whole lot about, like, the plot or the story of Death Stranding. It is something that I've been meaning to play at some point, but I always forget that it exists, so...
Like, yeah, I'm not in a huge...
It's, like, I'm not in any huge rush to play it. I have some bits and pieces about Death Stranding 2, like, that's been floating about, because it just released.
Yeah,
like,
it did.
Literally just released in the last, I don't know, days or week, or I don't know exactly, but... a lot of people seem to be happy about it, so... I say, I don't know, I'll eventually get around to playing the first game at some point.
Someday.
And then maybe we'll play the second one if it's good. But it's, like, I wanted to bring it up because, like, it is quite a, like, big title on the Sony side. Even though I'm not super, super fussed about it. Like, it's worth
looking at. Yeah. Let's give it a little nod. Mm-hmm. Let's skip Shadows and you take the next one, sir.
Oh, Tales from the Shire. This I am actually kind of
yeah,
excited
I love
about.
me some Lord of the Rings.
So, like, yeah, we're both big Lord of the Rings fans. Like, I feel like there's a lot of Lord of the Rings fans looking at one's Lord of the Rings shelf over there. Tales of the Shire is an upcoming game. I think it's going to be on most platforms. But it's kind of, from what I've seen from the trailer, it's kind of sort of like an Animal Crossing-esque style game in the, like, the form of Lord of the Rings. So you take on, like, you're a hobbit in
the Shire. That sounds fun to me.
And, like, you go around, like, I think you can do, like, farming and, like, cooking. Like, it's a cooking crafting
yeah.
kind of game. But, like, you're a hobbit in the Shire. It sounds really fun. Like, I think it has a multiplayer as well. I think you can get, like, a few of your friends together and, like, play in the same world. And
yeah, speaking of Lord of the Rings, left hand wedding ring, right hand is the Ring of Men. My wife got this for me for Christmas. It's the Ring of Men, so I've been wearing it. And it's also a fidget ring, so it spins. So I can just sit here
and
fidget my Ring of Men.
I'm super
excited.
Yeah,
that looks cool.
I remember seeing, like, when they first, like, announced it, like, and I saw the trailer, like, the release, like, the announced trailer. And I was like, oh, a Lord of the Rings, like, for want of a better word, like, simulator game, you know, like, sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exciting to see.
So that's coming up. I think, I don't know whether that's scheduled for release this year or next year. I think it's probably going to be.
I don't know when anything comes out.
Yeah.
I just know it'll be out eventually.
It'll be out eventually. Tales from the Shire, Hyrule Warriors. So the new installment of Hyrule Warriors, The Age of Imprisonment. I'm excited about this game. We talked a little bit about it before the podcast, because I played the original Hyrule Warriors and also Age of Calamity, which was the Breath of the Wild prequel. Hyrule Warriors, this one's a prequel to Tears of the Kingdom. I'm super excited about it. I loved Age of Calamity. I have it on my Switch. I bought it at full price and played the shit out of it. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go out of my way, you know?
Yeah.
Again, like I said, things have changed for me, but it does not look bad, you know? It does look fun.
It's like the Dynasty Warriors, like Hyrule Warriors.
The what Warriors?
Based on the Dynasty Warriors.
The Dynasty Warriors? Sorry.
Dynasty.
I'm just giving you
Dynasty.
Shit because, yeah.
Because I'm British.
Yeah, because you're British.
Dynasty Warriors. Yeah. It's I love that style of game. I love playing that game when I was younger. So, like, having that with, like, the Zelda skin, like, essentially,
yeah.
like, the Zelda characters, the Zelda locations, like, has me sold. Like, I get to run around as, like, especially as, like, the different characters from Zelda. Because, obviously, with the mainline Zelda games, you play as Link. Up until Echoes of Wisdom, where you play as Zelda, which I loved. But like the Age of Calamity, Hyrule Warriors, and this the new installment, like you get to play as like all the other characters in the games. So I like that. It's super fun. I'm excited about it.
100% agree. I'll let you talk about this next one too, because I have no clue about it. It's Hollow Knight.
Yes.
Silk Song.
Hollow Knight.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. Hollow Knight. So Hollow Knight is like a platformer. It's a pretty popular like platformer, like 2D platformer. Very big in the speedrun community as well. Like people speedrun, people go crazy speedrunning Hollow Knight. But it's also a little bit of a meme with the second one. So Silk Song is the sequel to the original Hollow Knight, and it's been announced for years at this point, and it's one of those games that's like it's coming, and like most Hollow Knight fans are like have hit the point now where it's like it will come eventually.
It'll
be
there.
We've stopped getting excited about like it coming out soon, but yeah. it was announced like to be coming to Switch 2 as part of like the Nintendo Direct, and it is allegedly coming the end of 2025. So if it releases That's exciting news, especially for Hollow Knight fans that have been waiting for Silksong for a long time, and been getting excited about Silksong for a long time. I'm still playing through Hollow Knight 1, and I never completed it. It's a fun game. I think I have it on my Switch. I never completed it, but it's fun to play. So I wanted to add it in here as an honorable mention, because I know a lot of people, there's a big Hollow Knight community, and a lot of people are excited about Hollow Knight 2. So hopefully it does actually release.
Yeah, hopefully. Cross fingers. I'm going to skip over Wolverine. We'll talk about Fable 4. I am excited about this one because I
I'm
love me some
so
Fable.
excited about this.
I love Fable. There's a, it's not there anymore because I moved everything around, but I have a Fable 3 Special Edition Xbox controller, the Fable 3 Special Edition's right behind me on the ground. I have the Fable 2, which was originally supposed to come out with a figure, but was canceled at the last moment, so we got the weird slipcover version of Fable 2. Fable 1 remaster on the 360, the original Fable on the Xbox, and Fable, the Lost Tales on the Xbox. I love me some Fable, man. So this finally seeing another Fable coming out, not under the umbrella of Peter Molyneux, that was his name.
It's just, yeah.
I'm just happy we're getting another one because I love that setting, you know.
Yes, and again, I love Fable as well. Played the original Fable a ton. Actually, they did a soft remake of the original
They
Fable
did.
game on PC. I have that on Steam. I played that a little bit. Fable 2, I absolutely loved, and Fable 3 was fantastic.
Oh, I love those games. Yeah, they.
Really excited to see a new Fable game coming out. Can't really say anything bad about having
Yeah,
a new Fable
it's gonna
game.
be great.
I know my wife's stoked for Fable 4 too, because she's not a super big gamer, but there's a few games that she played in her childhood and younger years that she loves, and Fable's one of those games. She remembers playing Fable and loving Fable. So she's excited for the new Fable coming out. And that's really cool.
Yeah.
I especially 'cause she's not big into games, so it's really cool to see her excited about a game. So yeah, I'm stoked for a new Fable
Heck yeah. I
coming.
can't wait. I remember on Fable 3, it's a real quick memory. There's an achievement where you have to have so much income or have so much money. There's the good old cheat with that game where disconnect from the internet, push your system clock up 100 years and log it
Oh,
back in and
and
have
then
all
you've
this
just
money. Yeah.
accumulated all this
I'm
money.
not, it's not beneath me to cheat to get an achievement. Sorry.
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
That's right. Let's see here. We got a new Onimusha coming out. That's gonna be fun. I like the original ones. Again, they were PlayStation 2 games. I think they eventually released on the Xbox. I can't remember.
I have no idea.
They're like samurai games, you know. And kind of not really in the long the lines of like Tenchu or anything, but yeah, they were fun games. They weren't bad. I think they re-released some of them on the Switch. Again, my
Probably.
memory is escaping me, but I think they're out there.
Probably find out. We'll
Oh,
see.
he's gonna look
I was gonna say, while we're talking, I'll take a look.
while he's
I still have
looking
the
for that. Outer Worlds 2.
Outer Worlds two.
I have yet to play the first one, but it is on Game Pass, so I might have to take a look at that one.
Yeah, I also still have yet to play Outer Worlds 1, the first one, but I do have it on my PC, because it was a free game with on Epic Store for a while. So I grabbed it while it was free, and I'm
It's probably really good because it's made by Obsidian, same people made out made Fallout New Vegas, and I love New Vegas too, so.
That's true. I forgot that it was by the same people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grabbed it fully with the intention of playing. Alrighty, we're back.
Yeah, battery died, guys. Sorry, I have to do a quick battery change.
Battery swap over.
Let's get through this list here, my man.
Yes, we were. Oh, we were talking about thingy on Onimusha.
Animushu, yep, yeah, they're on
Yes.
the Switch.
Yep, I did check. They are on Switch, which is kind of, oh, and we were talking about Outer Worlds. That's where we. I think that's where
Yeah.
we died. But I think we pretty much covered out everything we were saying about the Outer Worlds.
Grounded too.
something I'm stoked about. I really like the Frost Grounded game. It's a craft and build kind of game, like craft weapons, items, stuff like help you through. You're essentially just a shrunk down kid in a back garden.
I remember seeing the first one. Like I said, I never played it, but I might have to give it a shot.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to play. Like it's up to 4-player co-op. So it's a lot of fun to play if you have a few friends as well, like to play through.
Definitely. Unless my chihuahua wants to play with me, I don't think I'll be playing co-op anytime soon.
But yeah, it's something kind of, like it's, I enjoy it. I think it's a fun game, and it's cool that they're doing a second one. Not too much to say about it. I'll probably get it when it eventually comes out.
We have a Ninja Gaiden Ragebound. Mm-hmm. I like Ninja Gaiden games. They're just really hard. And
yep.
I think we've talked about this before. Like, I don't necessarily want a challenge all the time when I'm playing something.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
at least not a super hard challenge.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, sometimes I do. Like, I've been playing through the Last of Us games on Grounded mode as a challenge to me. But, like, I don't always want to play
hard
mode on everything. Like, and Ninja Gaiden, like, is just kind of known for being hard mode, like, out of the box. So, I like Ninja Gaiden games, but again, I'm not, like, I like to play games for fun most of the time these days. Like, I just don't love, like, super big challenges.
Yeah, I am.
Only occasionally.
So we got two Gears of War games. First of one, Gears of War Reloaded.
Which is a remake of Gears of War 1, as far as I'm aware.
Which we've already had
a remake of Gears of
War 1. Yeah, it's up on my shelf. It's on the Xbox.
Because, I played Gears of War 1 on the Xbox. I have literally played Gears of War forwards and backwards. Like, the first one. Me and my friend, I used to go to his house, and he had it on Xbox, and it was our game. We know that game inside out, back to front. Played it on every difficulty, first mission to end mission to first mission, like, love it.
I had a group of guys I played multiplayer with from the first game to the third. Tons of multiplayer. It was every night, hours on end. But then, as life went on, we haven't played in quite some time. Well, at least I haven't played with them. I don't know if they still play or not. But.
Yeah. Big Gears of War fan. Before me and him did our Halo playthrough, just before I moved out to the US, we did a full Gears of War playthrough. So we did like 1 to 5. Yeah, 1 to 5. Like all the story, like playthrough. Super great game. Like lots of good memories. Don't know why they're remaking it again.
Money.
Yeah. The thing is, so I was talking to him about it because he mentioned it to me, and I'm like, why are they remaking it again? And if you bought a copy of Gears of War Ultima, which was the first remake, you can claim a copy of Gears of War Reloaded for free.
Oh, okay.
So
that's nice.
I don't know whether there's like added content. I haven't looked into it. I will look into it and find out why. Because there's got to be a reason why they're remaking it again. Unless they're going down the Skyrim route and just putting it on every single console everywhere. You never know. But like, hopefully there's some added content. We'll see. But that's happening. And then we're getting a new Gears of War, which is a prequel.
Gears of War E-Day. Yeah, that looks cool, man. Cause
that looks awesome. Like, I'm excited for that. Like, as a big Gears of War fan, like, I like the idea of a prequel going back to, like, you know, day one, where the locusts pop up. Super, super excited about that. Genuinely, like, can't wait.
That looks interesting. I'm
probably going to get it fairly ASAP and play through it, because I do like me a Gears of War game.
Heck yeah. We have Elden Ring.
Nightreign? Yeah.
I've never played an Elden Ring game. Again, it's one of those Souls type games. Yeah. And
hard.
Hard.
I played a very minimal amount of Elden Ring. My wife's brother John, he was like when Elden Ring came out, he was very, very into it. Him and his friend Pat, super into Elden Ring. They played a whole bunch of it. So I played a little bit, like when I was around his house, like he would like chuck me the controller and be like, play, and I'd be like, what the fuck am I doing? And then I'd die. And
That's
that's basically how that goes with Elden Ring. So I haven't played a lot of it. I know that there was a DLC that came out as well. And then this is a like a new game.
You said it was a battle royale game,
Yeah,
right?
so I was talking to my colleague about it, because he my colleague's a super big Elden Ring fan. He like hardcore played through Elden Ring and the DLC. And he was saying that it's kind of like a battle royale, kind of like roguelike-esque style thing. So like you drop in, like you collect resources, and then you fight your way through other players in either like singles or trios. They don't have duos at the moment. So I don't know. I don't know whether you fight through like against other players, or whether you fight like Elden Ring style bosses. But like it's some kind of that S game, so I don't really know. That doesn't really sound like my cup of tea, so I probably won't be picking it up. But I imagine some people, especially like Elden Ring fans, would probably
Yeah, I could see it
be
selling
pretty
well. It's just
stoked.
not for me, man.
Yeah. Probably not gonna be a pickup for me.
Let's see what else we got. Doom the Dark Ages. This has already come out, and they're saying it's a really great game. I think it's on Game Pass. I'm not
It
100%
is on
sure.
Game
Okay,
Pass.
so I might have to try it
Yeah.
out. Just.
I would, because you've got Game Pass, I'd pick it up at some point, because I've heard good things. To be fair, I've heard nothing but good things about the Doom series, like
Yeah.
since like the original Doom, and then yeah, I can't remember what the second one was called.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it escapes me, but
Doom
like
Eternal? Doom
Eternal,
Eternal?
that's
Yeah.
the one. You saw right, yeah. Doom Eternal, and then now this one. I've heard good things about all those games. I haven't actually played any of them myself.
I started the Doom, was it
27,
2014, 20,
was it
somewhere around there.
one of the 20?
Yeah.
I got this 20. I got 2017 in my head, but I might be wrong. I'm often wrong.
I might have to pick that up. We also have a Dune Awakening.
2016.
Oh, it's miles
So
close.
we were like both the other side of
Yeah.
it. Yeah, Dune Awakening.
I cannot stand Dune.
I haven't watched either of the films. I think there's two
There's an
films.
original one. Like, I think it was 70s.
Yeah,
That shit is
and it was based
boring.
on a book.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book. I'm a like very into books, but I haven't read the books, and I haven't seen the films, old or new. But Heather did go and see the new Dune, like
Did
the
she like
first
it?
one. She hated it.
Oh.
She said it was super boring, like way
Just like the
too
original
long,
movie.
and like she was like nothing really happened, like nothing interesting happened to keep me like gripped in the film. So I didn't watch it based on her recommendation, because probably I might like it, but I don't know. It sounded like kind of boring. And I haven't really had any interest to go and look. I've seen a few reviews about this Dune Awakening game. It seems to be like a an RPG type game, but I don't have a care for the book or the films, so I'm probably not gonna be picking up the game. But some people like it, for sure.
Yeah, this passed for me.
Yeah.
Another game called Killing Floor.
Killing Floor. So Killing Floor 3, which has been slated for release for a while. It didn't have an exact release date, but apparently it's coming out later this year. I'm stoked about this game. I play a lot of Killing Floor 2 with my friends. Super fun. Like it's a zombie waves game. Like you like level up your equipment and fight waves of zombies. They
Yeah.
get progressively harder. Every 5 floors you get like a specific like type. So you'll get like some kind of like all this type of zombie, or zombies with this thing about them, or whatever. Like it's a waves-based game, so it's kind of like Call of Duty Zombies, but like it's fun. I'm interested to see what they do with number three. Like, the second one was a lot of fun. I used to play a lot with my friends.
So sounds fun.
It's going to be, like, it's going to be one of those games that I don't really play at all on my own, but my, like, my Killing Floor 2 buddy is, like, we're going to get together for Killing Floor 3 and play a bunch of games together, which I love. Like, I love game, like, there's some games that, like, I just have no care for on my own, but I love to play with my friends. Fallout 76 is one. I don't care for Fallout 76 playing on my own really at all. But I have a couple of good friends that love the game, and I always have a blast playing it when I play it with them. And Killing Floor is one of those games. Like, I'm probably not going to play much of it on my own, but, like, when I get a couple of buddies together that like it, like, we will play together and have a blast. That's probably how that's going to go. So I'm excited for Killing Floor.
Oh, good. Another one you're excited for, Skate 4.
Yes. I'm really hoping it's going to be good. I was just talking a little bit earlier on. Like, Skate 1 I loved, and Skate 2 was pretty good. Skate 3, like, didn't hit it for me personally. A lot of people loved Skate 3. Wasn't, like, it didn't make me feel how I felt with Skate 1. I'm hoping Skate 4 does. We'll see. They haven't released much in the way of, like, gameplay or, like, trailers or anything at the moment, but hopefully it'll be good. Well, time will tell. It's a skateboarding game.
Yeah, it looks interesting enough.
I was gonna say, like, I like skateboarding. It's a skateboarding game. There's not too much to say, really.
And one game we know is coming, but we didn't see a lot of, is Wolverine on the PS5.
Yep.
And I'm excited for that, because I love me some Wolverine, man.
I'm super excited for that. I'm going to double check before I say it, but I think it's also being made by Insomniac.
I think you're right.
They make the Spider-Man games, like the new Spider-Man games on PlayStation, which are fantastic games. So, like, Wolverine made by, like, those guys.
Yeah.
I think it will be really cool.
It has to be fun, right?
It is in development by Insomniac Games.
Does it show a release date by chance?
It does not.
That's all right. We'll get it eventually. Maybe next year, maybe the year after. Who knows?
Just says upcoming, which, you know, upcoming could be tomorrow or it could be 3 years from now. But that's exciting because I, like, Insomniac have done such a good job with the Spider-Man games, like, through and through. I think they'll do a fantastic job of Wolverine. Like, everything about the Spider-Man games, like the movement mechanics, the fighting mechanics, like, a lot of people collectively, like, me included, say, like, the fighting mechanics are some of the best, like,
yeah,
most fun to play fighting mechanics in the Spider-Man games. So I imagine they'll do similar for the Wolverine.
There's a Wolverine game on the 360. Yeah, it's fucking rocks, you know. So I'm pretty excited for that one.
I'm excited. I will be picking that up when I can once it releases, because I think that's going to be a fantastic game.
Oh yeah,
I have like a lot of faith based on the Spider-Man games in Insomniac Games to bring out a good Wolverine game.
And the last thing we want to touch on is the new handheld Xbox. The Xbox Ally X.
Yes.
You can play Steam games on it. You can play your Xbox games, Windows, you know.
Yeah, it looks so, like, Microsoft and Xbox, like, have been doing a solid and going down the sort of route of, like, accessibility to a lot of games. Like, obviously, like, Bethesda's now a part of Microsoft, which then, like, a lot of stuff go on the Game Pass, like, from Bethesda. But also, like, just Microsoft seem to be in the market to, like, give, like, such a wide range of games to play. And, like, they've said with this handheld, like, there'll be access to, like, obviously Xbox games, but also Steam. Like, Steam is on Windows, but, like, Steam's a separate company. But having access to your Steam library, like, it opens up so much.
Yeah.
And, like, the, it looks like the actual handheld's going to be decent as well. Like,
it looks cool.
It does.
It's this expensive as shit, and
it is. It's going to be expensive.
And I don't know, man. Like, it does a lot, you know, for the money and whatnot. But there's two versions, right?
Yeah. So you got the Ally and then the Ally X.
Yeah, there
so
you
I'm
go.
I'm assuming like it's.
It probably, has to do with memory, like how much memory.
Yeah, okay. I think so. It's probably going to be. Let me see if I still got the page open. Because if I had to guess it, it's probably going to be storage and maybe performance.
Yeah.
Like,
I think you're right.
Let's see. Launch holiday 2025. So that'll be later on this year. To be fair, I didn't realize it was coming out so soon.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's not far off at all. What we got? So yeah, so the Ally X is gonna have 1 terabyte of storage and 24 gigabytes of RAM, whereas the Ally Non-X is going to have 16 gigs of RAM and 512 gigs of storage. So,
I wonder if they're upgradable at all. Probably not.
I know that.
Especially if they're charging extra, like, why wouldn't you just do it yourself for cheaper?
Yeah, I don't know whether the RAM will be upgradable, but I think they'll, if I remember correctly from what I heard, there will be a slot for, like, expandable storage.
Okay, cool.
Probably through, like, microSD, if I had to guess. Like, some form of microSD. Let's see if it says anything here about it. It's going to be running on Windows 11.
Wow, I hate Windows 11.
Yes.
My work PC updated to Windows 11.
I've been putting it off on my work PC. Like,
I have to. It's, you know.
Yeah, I have, yeah, like.
It pushes it through.
Yeah. It keeps like popping up on my thing. I was like, upgrade to Windows 11. I'm like, later.
Nope.
Later.
Nope. Like, like all my coworkers got it before I did. I'm like, oh, huh. And then mine eventually updated. I'm like,
man. Okay, so it doesn't have expandable storage, but it is using standardized M.2 SSDs.
Okay.
So you'll be able to upgrade the storage itself.
Good.
So
you can do that. Okay.
That's cool. So if you do get the like this lower base model, like you can upgrade the 512 just by buying a standard M.2 SSD.
Oh, cool.
For larger. So that's cool. I do like that. That it's expandable and it's standardized stuff, because like those M.2 SSDs, like they're the same. Like I have one in my PC. Mm-hmm. Like you can just buy them off Amazon and swap it out, which is that's really cool. But it's like a standardized, not a, you have to buy a specific one,
yeah.
Like Nintendo. You have to buy a specific peripherals. But that's cool.
Even like the Vita and the PSP had
their proprietary
storage.
I hate it. But that's another cool thing. Like, so not only like is Microsoft and like Xbox like trying to open up like what options you have to games, but like, they're not trying to lock things down. Like, oh, you buy the lower thing, like you're stuck with your 512 gigs of storage. Like, no, you want to put in a new SSD? Go ahead.
Go for it. Yeah.
Like,
cool.
It can be any, like anyone. Fine. Go ahead. Like, I love that. Fantastic. Very good. Like, I can't really fault Microsoft on anything related to it, to be honest. Like, access to Steam, access to all your Xbox games, like upgradable storage, like it's good.
Yeah,
it's probably going to be a hefty price. Will I be getting one? Probably not. If I'm being honest, I probably won't have the money.
Yeah, me too.
Plus, I have a powerful PC. Like, as much as like I do love portable and handheld gaming, like I have my Switch, I love my Switch for that. I don't need my PC games on the go.
Yeah.
The games that I play on my PC, I like to sit on my desk and play my games on my PC, you know? Like, for me personally, I don't think I need the handheld to do it as well. Like,
And I barely play the games that I have too, so like,
that's the thing as well. It's like the cost of it is not gonna be worth it for me. I can see a lot of people it being worth it for, and I love that Microsoft is making it like it's gonna be a thing. But it's probably not gonna be for me.
100% agree. Well, that was great, man. We talked about quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you're going to do videos on the channel, right?
Yes.
Good. Yeah. I'm excited to see them.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a couple new ideas in this podcast alone. So I'm going to do, I'll do a full overview of my thoughts and all the stuff on the Switch. Because there are a couple other things I didn't mention from earlier that came to me while we took a break swapping the batteries. So I'll do a full overview on that, and I will pick up at some point in the future the camera for the like the Switch and do an overview on the game chat and the like the screen share and all that stuff. So keep an eye out for that. And then I'm also gonna do, like I said, I play Lorcana trading card game, Disney Lorcana, a lot of fun, and it's Disney. A lot of people like Disney.
You love your Disney, yeah.
So I'm going to probably do some videos on that as well. So there'll be a bit of variety on the channel alongside the podcast episodes. Obviously, like, Juan's got his comic books. Those videos have been doing really well, and I love watching them.
Oh, I appreciate it. You make the best thumbnails, man. I really appreciate you up on the thumbnails.
Happy to. It's been fun learning how to do that stuff. And that's like, cool,
man. I appreciate it.
It's great.
A lot of sets, like storylines and, you know, things like that, so... I think I'm going to start doing those. You gave me a great idea. I'm going to start doing some Amiibo videos.
I definitely think you should do some Amiibo videos, even if it's just for my benefit. Like, I'd be interested in watching it. I'm sure there's other people out there that would be interested in watching it.
Like, even right up front, I have some of the rarest ones. Like, there's that Monster Hunter one. The cat, forget his name.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
And I got a Box Boy one sitting right there in the case. That's Japan only. I got the 3DS, like, up there. So, yeah, I think
that's all right. But yeah, it's cool. So yeah, I'm gonna do some Lorcana videos. Yeah, I've got like a couple of decks that I put together. I'm gonna do deck overviews, and then we've got set championship tournament seasons coming up in August, I think. So I'm gonna do some videos on that. So there'll be a bit of variety on the channel along with the podcast. Have said it before, we're trying to do the podcast a bit more frequently. It's been a bit of a struggle. Hopefully that will improve.
It's hard. We're two adults with two different lives and two different sides of town.
But that's also why, like, I think it's really cool that you're doing the comic book videos, and I've got some ideas for some videos, because it gives, like, there's some more content to watch around the podcast while you're waiting
every other month for a podcast. Yeah.
While you're waiting for the podcast to come through, which doesn't happen as often as it may be like, but we're adults. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, we got adulting to do, you know?
So, yeah, hopefully there'll be some content to watch.
We'll think of some good shit, like.
Yeah.
It's coming.
We got some cool ideas. I'm excited to work on some new videos. It's always a blast to get some content out there.
I agree.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks for watching, guys. We appreciate it. Stay tuned for today's videos, my videos, another podcast down the line, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.